roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty on a Monday here, ready to recap the weekend. Bellator 253, which took place last Thursday, and UFC 255, which took place on Saturday. Of course, ONE Championship had some results to post as well. And Invicta FC 43, yup, they were also cooking on Friday night on UFC Fight Pass. Of course, you know we love other sports, so we'll probably do some mentions along the way. It was a good weekend for the Garcia household in terms of the teams we represent, so why not bust y'all's balls? Because our teams are hot, man. You saw what LA did this past summer and fall. Anyway, listen, back to MMA. We're going to, you know, talk about those two events. We had two titles that were defended successfully. And then we also had an advancement in the Featherweight Grand Prix over at Bellator. So big, big news there. And of course, there's other news to touch on as well. For example, Shogun, man, he's thinking of retiring. And Dana White wasn't fighting him on it. So we'll see what happens there. But the Pride Stars are running out, folks. If Shogun were to retire, we only have Alistair Overeem as someone who kind of built a career at Pride. And on a technicality, fighters that fought at Pride, I can only think of two others, and that's Nick Diaz, who did a cameo, and Robbie Lawler. That's it. That era actually might come to a close. Last week we were talking WEC, and that still has a little bit of a lifeline, but kind of sad. Anyway, that Mark Radner. He is a VP at the UFC. He's actually in two other Hall of Fames, two boxing Hall of Fames, but now he's going to be inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame, a government and regulatory affairs vice president there. Good friend of the show. He got word that he'll be nominated. And don't ask me when that's going to take place, because traditionally it happens on International Fight Week, which, of course, passed in July. We didn't have it because of the pandemic. And they thought back then that maybe October something was going to go down. And I say that only because I had a little intel from Fighters Only and their World MMA Awards. They kind of like to piggyback and you know, do it all on the same week. But, of course, October's come and gone. Who knows at this point, honestly? Just send us our Best Media Source trophy, Fighters Only, and we'll just, you know, we'll look at 2021 and see what's up. All right. And then lastly, Tony Ferguson, Charles Oliveira, that's set. That's set, as is Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno, the two guys that actually won on this Saturday's card. They're going to go in 3 weeks at UFC 256. So it's kind of a whole mess. It's kind of interesting, but it's all, you know, it's all part of this wacky sport of MMA. All right, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on the Monday, November 23rd.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
Well, Goz, look, let's go in sequential order, because I don't mind talking about this guy. AJ McKee at Bellator 253 on Thursday made quick work of Darian Caldwell. He advances to the finals of Bellator's Grand Prix. In the other bracket, the week before, of course, we found out that Emmanuel Sanchez and Patricio Pitbull Frady, they would be in the other semifinal with the winner now advancing to face AJ McKee, $1 million at stake, and a pretty high featherweight standing if you look at the USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie rankings, where Pitbull and AJ get a lot of love. Talk about that fight. Talk about the greatness that is AJ McKee. I'm trying to tell people, outside the UFC, there's some really, really good fighters that we all just need to take a note of. He's one of them.
Yeah, it was an insane performance. I mean, the dude's got the benefit of that blueprint that his father can lay down. You know, his father's been through just about everything in the sport of mixed martial arts and had a little stint with the UFC as well. Not to mention just the wrestling that he's had instilled in him since day one. But AJ McKee is just one of those complete mixed martial artists. And you could see that from the moment when he was put on his back and the way he just operated so calm and cool and set up his choke. It was pretty damn impressive. Pretty insane, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was even Josh Thompson and Big John McCarthy, they were even noting in, you know, when the submission was being applied that there could be some danger, but it's not often seen, you know. And I think they were as surprised, you know, at the submission itself. For one, look, Caldwell's a former champion. He was the Bellator Bantamweight champion, let me see, two times prior to Juan Archuleta, the current champion. So he lost, Caldwell lost it to Kiyoji Horiguchi. Horiguchi had to vacate it, and then it was won by Juan Archuleta. So He's won a major title. He's done great in the world of wrestling. He's comfortable on the ground. But AJ McKee, man, I mean, that guy's just complete, and that submission was so smooth. You know, he wasn't even breathing hard, and he looked very confident. And then, you know, once he saw that he had some torque there on the neck, I mean, he went for it.
Bellator's got to be careful with AJ McKee, because for as cool of a kid that he is, he makes it very clear that he wants to get paid. You know, even going back to the check that he wrote himself when he was a kid and just wanting to compete against the best. They need to make that kid happy, and they need to keep bringing people over there to Bellator for him to fight, because I would hate for somebody like that to get through their contract and then leave and go somewhere else, because Bellator really put a lot into him. And I think it was the perfect place for AJ to develop his skills, but I would want to hold on to a guy like that.
Yeah, he could reach Fedor-esque status where, okay, so I'm not in the UFC, but most of the world thinks I'm number one. He could, and Pitbull could too. Much respect to him. He's a champ over there. He keeps handling his business as well. And so obviously these two could possibly collide. We also got to give our due to Emmanuel Sanchez. He might upset the whole party. But yeah, these are two very, very good featherweights, and that's why you see them high up there on the USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie rankings. We even talked about that on last week's rankings report. You know, Pitbull, man, he's the man. Look, elsewhere on the card, Jason Jackson beat Benson Henderson. Benson moved up to 170. I think it was just for this card, picked up a paycheck. Look, at welterweight, he's kind of been about a 500 fighter, but you can just tell he's outsized. At lightweight, of course, he's a legend. He's won the WEC title, the UFC title, and now he's going to be contending for the Bellator title at some point when that gets rectified. I mean, I think Pitbull can't be in two places at once. He's got Sanchez ahead of him. If he wins that, he's got McKee ahead of him. So we might be looking at about another year or 9 months to a year before we figure out what happens there. But Benson definitely needs to go to 155. Joey Davis stays undefeated. He defeated Bobby Lee. Raphaël Stotts defeated good friend of the show, Keith Lee. That was your main card. On the prelims, we had Jeremy Kennedy, also from Extreme Couture, picking up a win. Baby Slice dropped his fight. All right, let's move to Saturday, yeah?
Sure.
Davison Figueroa defended his belt against Alex Perez. It all ended pretty quickly, guillotine choke. But, man, they went at it. They went at it. And I liked some of the things Perez was doing. I didn't mind him actually going for the takedown. I imagine he rehearsed taking him down and maybe having to fight off guillotines. And he just, you know, he succumbed to this one. But, you know, he started They started kicking each other's legs a couple times. They were throwing some punches. I was really liking the pace of it. I don't mind that Davison Figueiredo won. I just wanted to see maybe 10 more minutes of action, and then whoever wins, wins. Because I'm high on the flyweights, and I just think they were really, really performing.
Yeah, it was a great scrap. And, you know, like, all right, I was seeing some people saying, hey, he's taking it to Figueiredo, and I agree that he was being aggressive, which is what you need to do with Davison Figueiredo. But the thing about Figueiredo was he had an answer for everything as well. That's what made that so impressive. Any position he was put in, he basically had a counter to it. And that's where it came down to the choke. You know, that was pretty pretty nice that he was able to put everything together and do that and stay calm, because that attack was pretty nasty. You know, he was being challenged. And really, as soon as that fight was over, all I could think about, and this is what the beauty is of having Royval and Moreno on the undercard, is just two really good performances. And now you just get to match them up together. I couldn't wait for that. But even outside looking in, George, the one thing that kind of stayed in my mind was, man, I would have liked to see Demetrius Johnson face this guy.
Demetrius? Davison?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was a big debate. I was doing the rankings yesterday, late last night, and I was trying to spell it out for the team that, what do we do? Because this is technically Figueiredo's first title defense. If you all recall, when he beat Joseph Benavidez the first time, that fight officially went down in the books, but Davison didn't make weight. Only Benavidez was eligible to make weight. But because of the headbutt, the UFC decided, well, that probably led to the finish. Let's make them fight again. So it was vacant when Davison won it, when he beat Benavidez the second time. It wasn't a no contest, by the way. It was still ruled a win, but the UFC kind of on their own did the matchmaking where they wanted those guys to meet up again. So Davison won the vacant title in July, and this is his first title defense. And like Goz is saying, the news is out. He's already going to defend Brandon Moreno in 3 weeks. A whole other story there. But back to what you were saying, Demetrius, 6 years without a loss, 11 title defenses. Does he just give up the number one ranking? Look, what has he done since losing to Henry Cejudo and going to one? He won their Grand Prix to put him in a position to fight the undisputed champion, which is Adriano Moraes. And one championship hasn't been able to get going like the UFC has. Only recently, the UFC's got half a year lead on them and maybe all the other promotions as well. So they've been able to, you know, get fights going, and Davison's been able to benefit from that. He fought once in Florida, once in Abu Dhabi. So he's chasing him, he's gaining on him, but it's 11 title defenses to one title defense. It's a very padded resume against what looks to be a promising fighter in Figueiredo. I think Demetrius still holds the number one spot, in my opinion. I think that's up for debate. But Figueiredo's 8-1 in his last 36 months goes. Demetrius Johnson's only 4-1 in his last 36 months. So that inactivity, you know, you got to like balance it a little bit. What do you like? Title defenses, win streaks, a flashy record? You know, what do you put into your, you know, your liquefier, I guess? You put in all the ingredients to come up with some sort of a juice. Well, what goes in yours when you decide who are the goats, who are the pound for pound? That's a little bit of what we have. We have criteria that we meet at USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie, and it's not easy when it comes to something like that. But look, I think in three weeks, Davison Figueiredo can really, really make the claim for the number one spot. That'll be two title defenses, an amazing record. And again, the inactivity from DJ's side. And remember, when DJ does fight, much respect to Adriano Moraes, but he's not ranked in the top 15. He may be right around the top 20. So is it a quality win? Yeah, probably. But is it along the lines of what Figueiredo's fighting? Benavidez twice, Moreno, Perez, top five guys. Oof, that's tough to duplicate. So anyway, going off on a tangent there, huh?
It is another belt, though. That is nice.
It is another belt, yeah. All right, so Figueiredo. So let's unpack this again. Figueiredo defeats Alex Perez. He got him via guillotine. Different from AJ McKee, he had a neck crank, if I wasn't specific there, the 2 days before. All right, so Figueiredo wins, Marino beats Royville, like Go stated, in the prelims. And Marino, who's quietly been a little bitter over getting passed over in the title shot, you know, pecking order, he's been smiling, but he hasn't been too happy about it because he hasn't even really been given a reason why. When Figueiredo beat Benavidez, it kind of looked like a two-horse race, but with Marino having the edge. He nosed them out. You know, when you just look at who was running ahead of who, and they said, nope, it's neither one of you. It's Cody Garbrandt. But I think both guys said, well, he is Cody Garbrandt. He is a former champion with a big name. We'll step aside. That's Perez and Marino. Then Cody Garbrandt couldn't go. And boy, I don't know if you guys have seen what he's going through. He got the Rona as well. Right, Goz? That stemmed from the Rona, he was saying? Wow, that bicep injury or whatever and the blood clots. Hope you get well, Cody. Seriously. They're looking for a return for him next spring. But when he bowed out of that fight, Marino thought, okay, I'm next. Nope, they gave it to Perez. So Marino just did his best and said, all right, I guess I'm fighting Royville. And so that's what he did. He beat Royville. Royville's shoulder went out. Marino was in a good position to possibly finish at that point anyway. I don't know. I don't know how the fight would have turned out because once Royville got his shoulder popped in by Coach Mark Montoya, it looked like he could have gone again. So regardless, the chips fell the way they did. Two guys fought and won rather quickly. Their health is intact. Guess what? They're turning it back. And they're running it back on December 12th at UFC 256. Do you have a problem with that, Goz?
Hell no. That's the way it's supposed to be. I thought that was dope. Both guys came out relatively unscathed. I mean, we have to assume, because remember, we've had a lot of people on the show where they fought on Saturday, and it's not till like Monday or Tuesday where they go, hey, something's off. You know, it takes a while. But they look like relatively they came out unscathed from their fight.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do it. That's perfect. I love matchmaking like that.
Yeah, look, I'm not hating it. I'm not going to finish the show and then go over to the UFC headquarters and pick it. I'm not going to pick it to fight. But what I don't like is these are big. I mean, look, to win a UFC title is supposed to be a big deal. It should be a big deal to the promotion to give that belt to a fighter. Should be a big deal for the fighter to win that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's just no way around it. We've done 3,000 shows, 3,100 plus shows. We've gotten to know a lot of fighters who have told us a lot of stuff on air and off the air. So we've accumulated a lot of knowledge over the years. You need to decompress after a fight. What do I mean by that? The rest, the weight of this pressure that you have, especially at that level, is off. You know, that's why they go and they pop bottles of champagne and party, and they say, remember Ronda used to have a bucket of wings ready to go. Imagine, you know, Joe Rogan joked that Davidson Figueiredo looked like he was 150 that night, 150 pounds. He weighed 125 the day before to make weight. He goes, he looks like he's 150. More than likely, he was probably between 140 and 145. So he's going to have no chance to relax, decompress, and properly build up his next title defense, all because the UFC needs to fill that void because Peter Yan is out of his fight versus Aljamain Sterling. I think Davidson Figueiredo has every right to go, that's your problem, you know? It's the weight cut. It's the weight cut is the biggest thing, you know? Like, Can the UFC take care of it by just saying, hey, look, all right, we'll pay you more money. You happy now? I mean, usually most of us go away. You know, the old, hey, for 100 grand, would you take a shot to the liver from Mike Tyson? Yeah, sure, sign me up. Oh, you crumble forward. You got paid, blah, blah, blah. But this is a proper professional sport, you know, and that kid has to go, and the diet has to start right now, and here we go again, you know, and I don't know. Would I have liked it in January? Right below Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier, what is it, the 23rd or something like that? Sure. You know, I think that seems pretty good to me. But in 3 weeks, I don't know. I don't know. That seems like a lot to put the body through, man.
But here's the other thing, George, is I think knowing right away, those fighters aren't going to do that normal, all right, now I'm going to go eat whatever the hell I want and all that. They're just going to kind of remain where they're at. So I don't think that weight cut's going to be that brutal as opposed to what happens to fighters. Usually the second their fight's over, they go out and they do whatever they want, Thanksgiving, all kinds of stuff. I think with both of them knowing right away, they probably, instead of today being Monday or yesterday Sunday, going out and partying and all that, I think they've just kind of maintained in that same spot. I can't remember who it was the other day. We interviewed a fighter and they had said, because I knew right away, I was just able to kind of stay in that same spot and it wasn't as bad. But the thing that kind of sticks out for me that's a little maybe troubling, as great as all this is, if Davison Figueiredo wins this fight, now who? Now what do you do, right? Like that division needs a little bit more help. And I mentioned Demetrius Johnson. And another name I wanted to throw out that I kind of missed too is Henry Cejudo. You know, I would love to see how Henry Cejudo does against Davison Figueiredo. But he's got to get through Brandon Moreno first. And I think that's going to be just as tough as a fight. But I don't know. I just Figueiredo looks really, really tough to me, man. He has the same thing that AJ McKee has in the sense that he just always looks calm. And nothing ever seems to really get to him. I really don't understand, man. Alex Perez was tough, dude. Alex Perez was really taking it to him. And you know what's interesting about this fight was, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, I mean, there couldn't have been too many of these, but this could have been a chance for a Dana White Contender Series alum to win a championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been big for that series too, especially with the Ultimate Fighter coming back. And we talk about the influences that seasons 1 through 3 had. There's going to be some Hall of Famers that came out of those seasons, you know? So what has Dana White's Contender Series been able to produce? And I think we can all agree they've been able to produce quality fighters, but the one thing they haven't produced yet is a champion. And there was a chance for that to happen. So I would love to see Alex Perez get another shot further down the line. Brandon Royval, I think, can also do it. But I don't know what we do right now.
Well, going back to this move of Figueiredo versus Moreno, you say you like it. I don't. I love the matchup. I can't wait, you know, but I can wait till January.
You just don't like the timing.
I just don't like the timing. It's so forced that the UFC feels like they have to have a belt on the line. I think they can honestly look at their partners, ESPN, who, by the way, handle all the pay-per-view, and just go, what do you want? Peter Yan is out. Remember, Kamaru Usman was originally going to defend here against Burns. Mm-hmm. And then Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling was the new headliner. And then Yan pulled out. And it's like, what do you want? You know, I mean, that this is the best we can do. But I don't think we can do this to our athletes. You know what I mean? That they, you know, especially during the pandemic, I got to imagine, man, like you just kind of want to like be over and done with. Again, the UFC can go, look, here, Moreno, I know you always wanted to fight for a world title. Instead of 100 grand, we're going to give you 200 grand or whatever the math is. I don't know. And I'm sure he's going to go, fuck, okay. Yeah, the money's great, but man, I only have 2 weeks to prepare for that motherfucker right here, that beast, Davison Figueiredo, the one George and Goes just discussed who might be on par with Demetrius Johnson. The one George and Goes just said, wow, it'd be interesting if Henry Cejudo were to fight him. You know, I mean, that is a monster over there. What kind of preparation will I have for him? You know, I say 2 weeks because it's in 3, but the last week you're not really training. You're basically just cutting weight. You know, I don't know. And then if Moreno loses, hopefully he can negotiate something like, hey, look, I'll do this, but if things don't go well and I grab a couple wins, please put me in line to try it again because this just doesn't seem fair. You know what I mean? Like, That's not the way I grew up. In combat sports, I usually grew up with proper training camps that led to a certain date on the camp, starting with boxing, where it was like anywhere from 3 to 6 months, I guess, to MMA, same thing. But now this quick turnaround like that, man, I don't know, man. I don't like look at the NBA, guys. Look at the NBA and EPL. They stopped mid-season, sent everybody home for the pandemic, be with their families, listen to the experts, stay safe, we'll let you know. And then behind the scenes, the NBA created a bubble, and then the EPL, they did their testing, not just the EPL, the Spanish League, German League, they did what they could. Germany had the best numbers out of the big countries that promote soccer in Europe. And so the Bundesliga started getting going quicker with no fans. You know, they created team bubbles, I guess. And but what happened? They didn't just go, come back, man. You're playing on Saturday. No, we're going to have a little bit of a mini training camp and get you ready. You know, they told these guys stay ready, but a little bit of a deal there. And then they led to a Champions League final that was – or sorry, those leagues finished up in, you know, in the summer. But then the Champions League, which usually finishes somewhere around May, it finished in August. You know, everything got put back. Same thing with the NBA. They got put back. And now the NBA wants to restart. And stars like LeBron James are saying, hey, man, relax. We just did this. You know what I mean? Like, let's figure out a schedule that works for both of us. And that's what I'm saying. Can we figure out something that works for both parties? I guess the UFC said, no, we have to have a title fight. I don't see why. I don't think that many more people will buy UFC 256 because Figueiredo and Moreno are on it. I mean, they just booked Ferguson versus Oliveira. That's pretty legit on the UFC's part. That's that could headline. You know what I mean? It's not for a title, but they're two great lightweights. You know what I mean? So I wish they weren't so married to, we got to have a title. We got to have a title. We got to have a title. I don't like that.
I hear you, man. I think both guys, I don't think they're being pushed into it or anything like that. I really do think they weighed out the options and said, hey, I can do this. You know, this is, we're young guys. I think they can. But the one thing I do want to add to what you said, there were a lot of people that were kind of shitting on this card a little bit about not buying it and all that. I want to give props, though, to Moreno and Figueiredo, because what they did is they fought their asses off. They put on great performances, and I think enough for anyone who maybe was at a friend's house instead or didn't pay for this pay-per-view. If I were them, they made me want to buy a future pay-per-view of theirs. They gave me that type of performance to go, damn, next time I see those guys on a card, I got to buy that because those two deliver. I thought they did great in that regards. And then just to touch on the NBA that you brought up, I mean, we're sports fans. We love sports. But I had thought about something, and tell me if I'm crazy. I agree with LeBron. What they ask the NBA players to do and live in that bubble and be away from their family, that's tough. That is really tough. But what stops them from doing half of the season and then taking maybe a hiatus of 3 weeks or something and then coming back and finishing the season?
Well, soccer does that, actually. The EPL is the only league that doesn't. And a lot of the players that have played in those other leagues and then come to the EPL say, yes, that would be a good thing. So we've gotten it from players and coaches alike, a winter break. You know, the players are already at top-notch, you know, physical fitness. And so on their own, I think they do a little bit of some light training just so that they don't just, you know, sit there and eat pizza and drink beer or whatever. So, yeah, I think it would be great. I think it's great mentally, physically. Recharges the batteries a little bit, and you know, it's no different from, I guess, the winter break, like when we used to go to school. Remember, you get 2 weeks off for Christmas, and then you come back and you're ready to hit the books. And I guess these guys are ready to run the fields, you know. But I did want to say one. So I would be in favor of something like that for the NBA for sure. But I mean, I guess what I would do is just make the All-Star break even longer. Because the All-Star break, like, I think you play on a Sunday. And no, how's this work? You play through, like, Thursday or Wednesday, and then everyone goes home, and then they got the skills and the rookie game, and then Sunday's the game. So I would maybe lengthen it off of that. Play off of that, I think, would be pretty nice. Yeah, not a bad idea. I did want to say this. What if Figueiredo and Moreno had said, no, can't do it? I don't think Dana White would have said, oh, I'm going to remember that motherfucker. I'm gonna remember that. Maybe he may have, you know, just said, really, for sure, you know, for think about it. What I think there would have been a little pressure, but I think he would have realized that is really, really soon. You know what I mean? And so then, what would he have done? He still would have had on UFC 256. I mean, unless he were to text either one of us right now and go, no, bitches, if I don't have a title fight, it is no pay per view. We're just calling it a fight night, and that's that. Well, then I guess that's that. And I guess they miss out on that payday of ESPN gives the UFC a certain amount of money for each pay-per-view, and then they collect the, you know, the money off pay-per-view buy. So who knows? Maybe that's the part we just don't get behind the scenes, and that's why the UFC has to calculate the math and go, okay, we're going to get this from ESPN. we're willing to write these amount of checks, but we got to get something in here. But the BMF, I mean, that was with Masvidal. That wasn't for a title. And that was the main event.
I was going to ask this question for our spinning back segment that we record today. With Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, you're right. It is a quick turnaround. But do you believe that the quick turnaround benefits one fighter? And if it does, which fighter do you think it benefits? Because I'm going to make this argument.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the champion, any other guy that's fighting, when Brandon Moreno isn't preparing for Brandon Royval, he's preparing for Davison Figueiredo. He's watching all of his footage.
Mm-hmm.
He's Clubber Lang. He's on the outside looking in, right? He's looking at everything about the champion. I don't know that Davison Figueiredo does that about Brandon Moreno. He's just focused on the dude that's in front of him, his task. So I actually believe that the quick turnaround probably benefits Brandon Moreno more than it does Davison Figueiredo.
Possibly. Possibly you might be right. Moreno probably has Figueiredo's face and a bullseye around it, and he's been training for not just his opponents, but Davison Figueiredo at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Royval's pretty athletic. I'm not saying Royval's like Davison Figueiredo, but I mean, that's a very, very a great jiu-jitsu guy with very formidable striking that he's developed. And then from Figueiredo's side, you know, Alex Perez, great leg kicker, a wrestler. You know, Moreno probably doesn't tap to Figueiredo's submission. I don't know. Moreno's probably the better jiu-jitsu guy. Moreno's also got formidable hands now. I don't know. It's a really, really good question, but I think you're right. I think Moreno might benefit a little bit more from Figueiredo. Moreno might even get to do a hop, skip, and a jump to Tijuana, kiss his wife and his daughters, and then, you know, come back and be okay. Figueiredo, that's a 10-hour flight, man, all the way back to Brazil. You know, kicks your butt a little bit and then come back and do it again. I mean, that's when you get a little bloated, and that's why they're keeping him here. He's not even going to Brazil, is what Dana White said. All that, by the way, is on the full press conference, which is available on youtube.com/MMA junkie. We got to move on here. UFC 255 also had Valentina Shevchenko defending her belt against Jennifer Maia. Hey, it got scary there for a second. If you had a parlay that was tied to Valentina Shevchenko, or a straight play, which I can't imagine anyone did that because the odds were so high. But in round two, Jennifer Maia took Valentina Shevchenko down to the ground and won a round. So it was 1-1 going into round three, and even round three was competitive. And that's about the time when Valentina Shevchenko started to pull away, not just to win the round, but to win the fight. But then Jennifer Maia, man, we got to give her a ton of respect. She did very, very well. And just for a while there, you know, the challenger gave the champion a scare.
I have racked my brain over and over with this. I don't want to take anything away from Jennifer Maia. I thought she came to fight. What I can't figure out is, you got to remember, Valentina's coming back from a serious knee injury. And from what I remember, I think this is probably the first major injury she's had in her career that she's had to bounce back from. I can't tell if she had a little bit of rust to her or if Jennifer Maia just rose to the occasion. I feel like it's a little bit of both, because I felt like there were times where you could look at Valentina and she just looked a little different. And then there were times where you could look at Jennifer Maia and go, I think what she's doing, the way she's using her body, the way she's implementing her strength, could also be giving Valentina problems. So I feel like it's a little bit of both. What did you think?
I think early on it looked that way. But then the way Valentina closed, man, she really, really closed, just putting it on Jennifer Maia from the striking realm. But look, let's not forget, I was joking around. You ever leave a nightclub around 2 a.m. and just as you're walking out, you go, look, look. And there's this drunk that's putting up some sort of a, you know, a fit because he got escorted out or, you know, whatever. He wants to test the bouncers. And then the bouncer, what, either knocks him out or somehow they get tangled and boom, you hear that body slam. I mean, Valentina had some very, very nice tosses, takedowns, you know, and they were violent, you know. So, like, I was really, really impressed. I think once she got going, she may have shaken off a little bit of that rust or maybe the injury weighed on her. But she never had a complete tear. She had a a sprain, I believe, of the MCL or a slight tear or something like that. Yeah. So luckily it wasn't one of those, it wasn't more of the catastrophic ones that you build up over a 9 month, 1 year, you know, rehab. Like Cub Swanson, who was a recent guest here on MMA Junkie Radio on Sportscaster, you know, he talked about it a little bit, that all of a sudden he was like, you know what, I wasn't even thinking about it. So who knows? But I think it's more credit to Jennifer Maya. She just came, you know, she had a good, really strong clinch. So when they were together, she may have even been the stronger of the two at times. And then she's a really, really solid Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt as well. So look, man, the opponents, they just get better and better and better. But Valentina definitely is still far and above the best at 125 pounds. And, again, I'd love to see her and Amanda Nunes at some point. But Valentina's talking, hey, I'd like to do a quick turnaround as well. I think she threw out Jessica Andrade's name. And there was one other one that she threw out as possible, you know, a possible opponent. And I think she wants to fight sooner rather than later. But Valentina's always kind of kept that type of busy schedule.
Yeah, she's got to make up for lost time.
Tim Means defeated Mike Perry. Caitlin Chikagian defeated Cynthia Calvillo. Paul Craig defeated Mauricio Shogun-Hua. Any thoughts there?
Well, I think when we talked about Tim Means and Mike Perry, I'm pretty sure we called it that way, where we just said the technical striking of Tim Means eventually will take over that fight. And I felt like it did. I really did. And who knows what the weight cut did to Mike Perry or what. But it was a good fight. To be honest, it was one of my favorite cards this year. It was fun.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Anybody that wanted to criticize it before is very entitled to it. You're entitled to criticize any card you want. I think the nice thing about the UFC is once it plays out, we usually come back going, oh, that wasn't so bad, you know. But you have every right to critique it when you look at it and you go, okay, yeah, well, you know, because – that's the same as when we look at a card and go, whoa, number one against number two, champ versus champ. There's a difference. You know, the MMA consumer, the MMA fan interprets it a certain way. So when we looked at it, we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but when is Valentina really going to get tested and figure out, oh, I'm slowly warming up to him, you know. And so that's one thing the UFC's always taken a little hard is that criticism they get. But all we're reacting to is the star power that you give us. Are you giving us ranked fighters? Are you giving us star powers? You know, star power means a lot for some people, you know. But anyway, Lauren Murphy was the other name. Shout out to Gally from Toronto for coming through as always. That's the other name that was mentioned from Valentina Shevchenko. By the way, Mike Perry, despite everything, Dana White, he made an impression on Dana White goes, and it didn't sound like Dana White wants to cut ties with him because he came in way overweight. And, of course, he's got outside the octagon issues as well. Mauricio Shogun-Hua, we mentioned earlier, you know, he's going to talk to his team. He might retire. He didn't say he wanted to retire pre-fight, but after that performance, I don't know. Dana White's definitely now he's involved. And once he gets involved, you got to plead an incredible case and, you know, a la BJ Penn or somebody for him to give you one more chance. You know, that's when he says, I better come in, you know, I better see some abs or I better see you, you know, posting shit on social media. You really want this because I just don't want to – I don't want to send you out there, you know, for you to really, really get hurt. Go ahead.
I thought that was a little strange because Dana, when he said it, left it more like, this is what I'm thinking about. As where with Anderson, it was more like, this is what's got to happen. And I felt like Anderson Silva's performance was way better than Shogun's performance. I agree. I think Shogun needs to hang it up. With Anderson Silva, I think he probably needs to end his career, but I would be okay.
Anderson's 45, though, and Shogun's high 30s, like 37. I think he turns 38 or just turned 38 or something like that. So there's that difference. But, yeah, the performance that Anderson had wasn't bad. You know, nobody was watching him going, that's a 45-year-old or anything like that. But the fact remains is he's a 45-year-old. He's also handsomely paid 45-year-old, so it could be that Dana just doesn't want to write a check to a handsomely paid 45-year-old when he can get two 22-year-olds that'll give him a fight of the night. So who knows? I bet you that comes into play a little bit. All right, lastly, Joaquin Buckley defeated Jordan Wright. Antonina Shevchenko defeated Ariane Lipsky. Big week for the Shevchenko family. The mother actually won a shadow box competition as well to start things off. So three Shevchenko ladies wins this week. Congrats to them. Nicholas Dalby defeated Daniel Rodriguez. Alan Jovan defeated Jared Gooden. I really, really enjoyed that fight. Kyle Daukaus defeated Dustin Stoltzfus. And Sasha Politnikov defeated Luis Cauchy. Fight of the night went to Politnikov versus Cauchy. And performance of the night went to Shevchenko and Joaquin Buckley. Any thoughts there goes on that card before we put it to bed?
I thought it was interesting that Buckley somewhat opened up and was talking about the pressures of having such a big finish like that and then having to replicate something like that. I want to say Anthony Pettis said something similar when he had the Showtime kick. I thought that was really cool. And then obviously he brought up a name that a lot of people weren't really sure who he was talking about at first. But if you watch our show, you damn know who that name was because it happened on our show. It was James Krause.
It was James Krause. Yeah, James Krause and Joaquin Buckley will not be exchanging Christmas cards. That's for sure. I mean, those call-outs are like, not like, I'd love to test my skills against that lad. It's nothing like that at all. It's more along the lines of like, you know, we either fight now or we're going to fight in the hotel. If we see each other, it is on. They dislike each other. James Krause told us he just didn't fit in. This is a type of guy that I wasn't feeling. It's not my type of guy is what he said. I want to fight him. I want to fight him really, really bad. And, of course, but you know, like Dana White said, they're doing it themselves. So what are we going to do here? He kind of said the same thing about Poirier and McGregor. He's like, they kind of did it themselves. So we're just following suit. We're in. So I expect that fight to be made hopefully sooner rather than later. Let's give the guys the holidays off. We'll come back in January or February. All right, we're going to be joined by Ensign anyway pretty soon. The other news that we may have I mentioned Ferguson versus Oliveira and Mark Ratner going into the UFC Hall of Fame. We'll get back to that in just a second. Joining us soon is going to be Ensign Inoue, one of the pioneers of this sport, who had an incident in Hawaii where he has a shop there that he comes home to. And he's going to tell you about it, all right? But we have some video as well of the incident. And, you know, we'll talk about all that when we come back in 10 seconds. We'll be joined by Ensign Inoue.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. We are back. And folks, as we conduct this interview, check out destinyforever.com. Check out these cool bracelets right here that we are rocking today. These are from destinyforever.com. And Ensign Inoue is the creator of the beautiful pieces of jewelry here. I got quite a few of them, actually. Welcome, Ensign. How are you?
Good, man. Real good.
Thank you for waking up early. I know you guys are a couple hours behind. But we had to talk to you about that incident, man. I saw that over the weekend. I was like, whoa, that was some crazy stuff. First of all, you know, why are you trying to take something that isn't yours? Why are you trying to take something without paying for it? What kind of a varmint are you? And then what kind of a dummy are you to do it where there's an MMA legend behind the counter? Oh, man, that guy. Anyway, Anthony, I still can't believe what I was watching. And, you know, credit to yourself. I don't know if in the end you wanted to give that guy another chance to just, you know, maybe do something different with his life or whatever. You told him how you felt. And, you know, I guess maybe you can fill in the blanks once he got outside the door, but you let him go. But for a while there, it didn't look like you were going to let him go.
Yeah. I really have a real pet peeve about it because especially with the day and times now, there's a lot of crime going on. And a lot of times, you know, the police arrest them and they get out on bond or bail right away and they're doing it again. So when that happened, you know, until that happened, I really didn't know myself what I would have done. And I always thought that I just start beating him up and, you know, but I don't know. I just didn't feel like laying hands on him was warranted at all. I mean, trying to steal the money. I mean, that's a big thing. Yeah, trying to steal the money clip. He didn't really get away with it. I just didn't think it was warranted.
Right. And so I wanted to ask you, what kind of conversation? I could hear a little bit of the audio, but at first he was denying it. But then you were pretty sure that he had done what he did because you basically took a quick inventory, saw what was missing. And then I think what you probably read his face as well. There was a look of guilt.
No, the reason why I saw it in his hand.
Oh, okay.
I saw a little flash in his hand, and that was a silver money clip. And he was acting weird. And, you know, when he first came in, he didn't have a mask on. And that's one of the rules of the building, that before they entered, he needed a mask. So I asked him to put on a mask. He kind of looked at me like, and then he put it on. And then the thing with right now, because of the pandemic and because of contact tracing, everyone has to sign in and everyone has to make an appointment.
Oh, so wow.
Everyone has to go on my website, make an appointment, and there's the open times. They click on the slot and they're able to come in. So I asked him right away, did you make an appointment? And, you know, the first feeling I got, he was really cocky to me. He looked at me and said, I don't have a phone. How can I make an appointment? So right there, I knew it wasn't going a good way. So my whole thing was thinking to de-escalate it. Get him out of the shop. That was my biggest priority. And he decides to turn around and start looking at something in the shop. And then it's funny because the place he turns around and looks is at where all the diamonds were. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the last place I want this guy standing with his back face blocking the whole counter. So I got up and walked around the side, and I noticed he had his mask on, but he was touching some of the bracelets that had diamond studs in them. So I just thought it was just too sketchy. So I told him, hey, if you don't have an appointment, I'm going to have people that come in with appointments and you're going to have to leave. And he said, I don't have a phone. How can I make an appointment? He said it again. And he started walking down the shop, and I kind of got a little upset. And I said, you got to get out of the shop, man. And then when he turned, I saw in his hand, there was a flash of the money clip. And that's when I started if you notice, I actually did try to grab him once and he kind of ran away.
Right.
So I'm glad I didn't get a hold of him, because he probably would have struggled and it probably would have escalated somewhere that I wouldn't want it to escalate. So I guess it worked out for the good, huh? He didn't get away with the money clip. I'm not getting any charges pressed on me. We'll see though, because when I walked him out of the shop.
Wait. Yeah. Why would charges get pressed on you?
What's that?
Why would charges get pressed on you? What happened outside?
In Hawaii, a lot of that happens where if someone comes into your house and you lay hands on them it's not warranted. You know, for me, I believe that they're in my freaking on my property. They're in my house or in my shop. But there's a lot of guys in Hawaii that's actually got prosecuted because of that. And I don't need anything like that right now. So, yeah. So escorted him out of the building. And then when he left and he got far away, he turned around and started cussing at me and told me that he's going to come back and cut me up.
Damn.
So I even hesitated on going and getting him right there and grabbing him. And the thought went through my mind and I had customers coming, and I just didn't think it was worth it. But I do need to tell you that if I do see him back at the shop, it will be a very different energy level that I'm going to produce towards him.
That guy's a nut. He comes back, man. You know, He needs to not only make an appointment, he needs to do things in a way.
People on drugs, they don't know what they're saying. So
that's
give him that benefit of the doubt.
Ensign, you should have told him, get a phone. Make an appointment, and also Google Ensign Inouye. I think you may lose the customer at that point, but at least you won't have to break a knuckle on his face.
I do regret something, though. I wish I turned around, lock the door.
Ooh.
And let and verbally just let him know what kind of situation he's in and what actually really could happen if he did it to the wrong person. And really make him shit. I did a lot of Yakuza negotiations in Japan, and I'm able to make Yakuza shit. So I'm pretty sure I could have made this tweaker shit. So that was one of my things that I wish I did. You know, what's really crazy? I got 4 messages from 4 other companies in this area that messaged me and said, hey, that guy was giving us problems too. And I actually had a shop that was a gross salon just down the street that actually told me that 2 hours later he was banging on their door. So this guy's a problem, man.
There was a movie called Bronx Tale with Robert De Niro and Chaz Palminteri in the mid-90s. Did you see it?
No, but Robert De Niro, then it's probably some type of mafia movie, huh?
Yeah. In that movie, there's a biker gang that comes into the local neighborhood bar, and the Italian boss, played by Chaz Palminteri, says, hey, why are you guys acting the way you're acting? And the bikers say, no, we're here to drink a beer. Come on, give us a chance or whatever. And he goes, okay, give these guys a beer. It's on me, blah, blah, blah. But those bikers had a reputation of rousting bars. And so in the middle of that, the bikers get their beers, and then they start spraying the bartenders. So they came to basically cause trouble, even maybe pick a fight. And guess what the mobster boss does? He goes, hey, that wasn't very nice. He goes, now I got to ask you to leave. And they go, fuck you, we're not leaving. How about that? He goes to the door and locks it. And he's wearing a suit.
Shit.
So when you said what you said about locking the door, it reminded me of that movie because it's perfect. There's a little quick narration where one of the kids goes, I'll never forget their faces. All of their guts and had been taken out of them basically because they knew something was about to happen. And sure enough, a few mob guys come out from the back room and it was a great brawl. It's a great movie. You'd love it. I'll text it to you. But okay, it's exactly what you described.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Maybe I can handle these situations better if I check that out.
Hey, bro, were you able to get that video or no?
Yeah. No, I can definitely show it here. I have it. I'm going to share it with the screen here. But you can see, like, he is just really acting strange from the get-go.
Yeah, it's like Carrot Top straightened out his hair.
Yeah, but...
he already knows there's going to... This guy's not on the right energy level, man. He's different. And so he takes off his hoodie so we can get a clear shot of his face.
I was going to ask you something. Throughout the whole process, could you just tell right away from the moment he walked in that he had that weird vibe to him? Because like you said, like even guys that you know are possibly thieves or pickpockets or whatever, just wouldn't you want to wear a mask? Like, I mean, this guy's like a terrible criminal just to start with. How would events 10 years ago happen?
I really don't like the old ensign, and I'd like to put the old ensign behind me. And the old ensign would have done things that I probably would have regretted today, but it would have really got physical really fast. And it would have, when I saw the money clip, I think he probably would have been going to the hospital. You know, I hear stories about myself long ago, and I really don't like that person. So I knew I was getting to that point because I was getting a little nervous. I could feel myself, my heartbeat going up, and it scared me because I almost felt like the old ensign's coming out again. I know he's not gone. I like to believe he's gone, but I know he's still in there. And I just hate these situations that just almost bring him about. So, but yeah, 10 years ago, man, this would have been really bad. So I'm glad it's 10 years later.
And so talk a little bit more about Destiny Forever since we got you on. How's that going? Have you expanded? You know, you have a pretty big shop there. What I was looking at, I didn't expect it to be that big. It seems like you sell a lot of different types of merchandise.
Yeah, so customers come in and they line up their like a personal bracelet. So as you can see, I'm super busy because this is what I have to make yet.
Oh, wow.
These are all the custom lineups that people have come in and made.
Very cool.
And, you know, it's I got a wall of fame too up here. I got to get your guys' picture posted.
Nice.
Very cool.
So I got a wall where all the notary fighters and people that have their bracelets on. So yeah, I just come to Hawaii every so often. Because of the pandemic, this is the first time I was able to come since February. So as you know, if I can't come to Hawaii, the shop is closed. And I've been paying rent since February, and I had to make this trip. I mean, when I get back to Japan, I have to quarantine for 14 days. But I had to get out here because the company account has been depleted because I've been paying the rent every month for 9 months now without ever being able to have business. The only revenue that actually kept this business actually still open is the website. So, you know, it's. It's one of those things, you know, the pandemic is something nobody could plan for. And, yeah, we got to deal with it. But I'm here now. Business is really good. And I'm always praying that this pandemic ends, man, because I miss going into your guys' studio. I miss going to Vegas, seeing you guys, being on your show. But thanks for having me today, man. This is so awesome. See you guys again. Like, I'm actually in the show.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You definitely were a frequent visitor. Can't wait for those days to come back. I think this vaccine definitely that's coming in early 2021 is going to be a godsend for everybody. So, hey, listen, thanks for spending some time with us today here on MMA Junkie Radio. I'm glad that you were able to not go back to the ensign of old. And look, you're here with us now. There's no police report to file. Hopefully this kid just changes his life or whatever. Or they just grab him, you know. But I'm sure someone will tell him if he recounts the story, you know, who he almost got mixed up with, and it wouldn't have been a good day for him. All right, Ensign, have a good one. Enjoy your day. All right.
All right, you guys, take care.
Man. Aloha.
Be safe out there.
All right, you too. We'll see you. All right, folks, there you have it, Ensign. Anyway, man, again, folks, go to destinyforever.com. This is mine right here. I got four of them. Goes has quite a few as well. A lot of MMA fighters rock them as well. We ran into Anthony Johnson at Mike Tyson's ranch when Dominance MMA had their media day, and he was rocking his. So I might send that picture. I thought that was pretty cool. Three worlds kind of colliding, and everybody happened to have them. So
Misha Tate.
Yeah, Misha Tate as well. Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, there's plenty of fighters that have them, but my handle on Twitter and Instagram is at MMA Junkie George, and Goes is at the Goes. I will tweet it. I will tweet it so you can see the whole video of everything that took place. There's a little bit more than what Goes showed, but basically you can kind of hear a little bit of a confrontation. And then it was a little bit of a cat and mouse, you know, and then the guy kind of put his hand up and he just walked out kind of like, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. And then boom, he took off. But apparently Anson chased him out. And that's when the guy told him, I'm gonna come back and cut you up. Like he just told us right now on the interview. Trust me, pal, take the L in that you didn't get what you wanted to do. And then that snagged something, but you got a W because you did not get your ass kicked. Anyway, again, thank you to Anson. Anyway, hey, let's talk about Manscaped. All right. Manscaped, look, this is the week, folks. This week, we're going to have what's called Black Friday, followed by Cyber Monday. But we already have a great deal with Manscaped for you all. All you guys, you know, you want to trim the lawn downstairs. The holidays are coming up. Look, it's no secret. I was born on September 26th. Goes was born on September 23rd. Guess what happened? Our parents got busy at those Christmas parties, those holidays, you know, it gets cold. Our parents snuggled. I mean, that was probably a good time for our pops. You know what I mean? If you do the math, right? And so those days are coming up. You want to be trim and proper downstairs. Get your products at Manscaped. There's lots of them here, all right, where you can tidy up the ball sack. You can trim the lawn. And, of course, we got some great discounts coming. But, look, this is the time where all of you get a lot of your shopping done. So Goes, feed them that info.
Well, here's the other thing, George, is once you get all your package trim and proper, you need a place to store them. And that's why I got the Manscaped boxer shorts here. This is all part of this limited time offer that we have for our subscribers. It's not just one, it's two gifts. It's the bag that you've seen George pull out before multiple times, and myself, and these boxers that are anti-chafing, all right, which is awesome. It's valued at $39. 20% off with the code JunkieNation, and you get free shipping. What more do you want? You give your testies the besties. Man, I wish I could explain to you guys how soft these guys are. I wish all of my boxers were Manscaped boxers. And I'm not just saying it. I really, really, really like these. I might make a blanket out of one of these.
A pillowcase. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code JunkieNation. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D. Manscaped. So plural. Past tense. .com. Check it out. We are going to go just a couple minutes of OT here because I just want to finish out a couple things that we mentioned early in the broadcast. Again, Peter Yan is out of his matchup versus Aljamain Sterling, and that's why we spent a lot of time talking about Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. Two guys that just won this past Saturday are turning it around, and they're headlining UFC 256 on December 12th. So the UFC's, you know, look, I guess on the one hand, I'm not too crazy about these guys doing another extreme weight cut, you know, like they're going to do to fight, but I will watch the fight. They're great fighters, and this division's starting to pop again. So they did what they had to do, Figueiredo versus Moreno at UFC 256. Mark Radner, again, can't say enough about that man and what he's done to put the UFC on the map across all 50 states, literally on the map, and all the provinces of Canada, including influencing many countries around the world to legalize MMA. MMA, man, in the late great Senator John McCain called it human cockfighting at one point, banned it from satellite television. I mean, this thing could have went away. And so the UFC for many years had some struggles, and that's why the original group, SEG, sold to Zuffa, which became, you know, now the Endeavor people. But along the way, in 2006, the UFC brought Mark Radner over. Mark Radner was the former Nevada State Athletic Commissioner, and they brought him over, and they brought him over. Why? Because his name carried weight. And all those years that he headed that commission and helped boxing thrive in this great state of ours, the UFC knew they needed someone like that at the helm, somebody with credibility to fly to all these states and meet with all these commissions and get the sport legalized in all the states, including what's probably anywhere from a dozen to two dozen trips to the state of Albany, the capital of New York, where they failed many times, but then they finally got it through. And look how massive it's been. Some of the biggest shows the UFC's ever had have been in Brooklyn and in Madison Square Garden in Manhattan. So great, great work there by Mark Radner. You couldn't meet a nicer guy. Also, a guy that contributed to many youth sports and collegiate sports, refereeing at football at a collegiate level. He's a scorekeeper at the UNLV games. I mean, the guy is so lovable, so charming, so sweet. And he may have pound for pound the coolest office of anybody that I've ever known. I've gotten to tour it a couple times. Goes kind of looked at me once like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I go, no, listen to me. I grabbed him by the collar. I go, you're going right now. You got to check this out. And I think I had to give him a cold water. He almost fainted when he saw everything that was in there. Goes, remember, it's almost like a museum.
I could have spent an hour just looking at his lanyards from every card he's ever been to. It was pretty amazing. What I liked that the UFC did was they, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a point where I thought he was asking someone like, did you know about this? Like, it caught him by surprise. And I thought that was awesome because he's just sitting there and all of a sudden it comes on. But I can't think of anybody that's more deserving in that staff than that guy, man. That dude did a lot for that company. And he's been there way longer than I thought he had been. I forget how long he's been there, but he's been there for a while now.
Yeah, most definitely. Very, very deserving. Congratulations to him. And he's already told us he wants to come back and do the show. I just texted him to congratulate him because I thought that was massive. And that's his third Hall of Fame, by the way. He's in two boxing Hall of Fames. And this will be his third Hall of Fame. And he said, I got to do the show soon. I was like, how about Monday? Well, that's a little too soon. But he took a while to get back to me, and he usually doesn't. But that must have been because he was just getting all kinds of congratulatory texts. Mm-hmm. So, again, congratulations to him. And Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira was booked late last week. That's going to also be on the pay-per-view card with Davison Figueroa versus Brandon Moreno. So what these cards are at one point and what they become is completely different. No Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns, no Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling, but now we got Davison Figueroa and Brandon Moreno, and we got Charles Oliveira versus Tony Ferguson. So, and by the way, goes, there's one card. The last one of the year is a fight night. That's pretty insane. Have you seen it by any chance?
What is it?
Look at this, man. This is crazy. This is the fight night with Edwards versus Shamaya. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the headliner. Look what they have. They got Matt Schnell versus Tyson Nam, two flyweights that can bang. Stephen Thompson versus Jeff Neal, two welterweights that can bang. Jose Aldo versus Marlon Vera, for crying out loud. Deron Wynn versus Antonio Arroyo. Bilal Muhammad versus Diego Lima. Marlon Moraes versus Rob Font. Come on. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's nuts. Manuel Cape versus Alexander Pantoja. DC was talking about Manuel Cape and Alexander Pantoja on the UFC 255 broadcast. He was really, really liking that one. Misha Cernikov versus Ryan Spann. I could stop right there. Cejara Eubanks versus Pani Khanizad. And the reason my face is lighting up, a lot of these fighters are ranked. Christmas vacation is going to start like literally a day later, man, because it's going to spend some time here having to unpack these rankings. Marcin Tybura versus Greg Hardy. And you know that Michel Pereira, the guy that's really, really fancy with the capoeira, who's really electrifying. He fought Diego Sanchez. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He's fighting Chaos Williams.
That's a great fight.
I mean, like, seriously, what a sick card. Like, that's why I felt like 256 might come up a little bit short. But I think the UFC, if they presented it like, these are our two cards to finish the year, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I think fans would just go, all right. Because you get a ton of free ones, and every once in a while you got to pony up the money. But what else are we doing? We're not out there going to movies or ball games or anything else, right? So trust me, have a limited 10 per person, two household fight night with degrees of 6 feet of separation. And turn some people on to this sport. It's a fabulous sport. You never know what you're going to get. You can bet. There's underdogs that pull upsets. They're favorites that cash. I mean, expect the unexpected. It is really, really something else, this sport of mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Now, you could have stopped probably about five fights earlier, and I still would have thought it was a great card.
It was, man. It was insane. All right, and remember, Twitter and Instagram, at MMA Junkie George, at The Goes. For Twitter and Instagram, we're going to retweet and retweet that link to Ensign Inoue and that little almost brouhaha that he had with that shoplifter that came into a shop. And big thank you to Ensign Inoue, an MMA pioneer who fought in the late 90s, fought in Japan as well, fought in the UFC. He actually gave Randy Couture his first loss. I remember when I read that, I was like, whoa, who's this cat? You know, him and his brother Egan Inoue, they both fought out of Hawaii. And we've just been lucky enough to forge a pretty cool friendship with him over the years. And he has this cool company called DestinyForever.com. Check it out. These would make great gifts, by the way. Everybody that's ever even seen this or that I've gotten one for, I mean, I've gotten one for my mom, for my girlfriend, but everyone that sees it likes what they see. And once you go on the website, you're going to see a lot of really, really cool designs and colors. And these, you heard them talk about energy. These stones are a little bit built around energy, and they all have certain names, and there's a little bit of a story to each one of them. So check it out. All right, folks, we got to get on out of here. Thank you so much for your support. Yes, we will be here to do another show this week. I know it's a holiday week, but we got a job to do, so we're going to do it. Keep an eye out for that. There might be a little bit of a switch in time and date, but that's something that is, I don't know. We got to figure that out. But anyway, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.